We're here in the couple of weeks before the start of Brighton Fringe, and you might think Brighton Fringe is going on in the background, but we're at Pavilion Gardens. Phones are going off. Actors are sitting at the same table as me, and I'm going to do a conversation that is interesting because Billy Nolden has been very much involved in bite-sized theatre. These are 10-minute plays, and that company, White Room Theatre, has been experimenting with going beyond the 10-minute format and innovating. And Billy, you've gone the whole hog this time, you know, little, even as you're eating bite sizes of rock cakes, sometimes it's the whole rock cake or nothing, and you've written a whole full-length play, haven't you?
I have this year, Paul, yeah, finally. I've managed to get round to it and, yes, get an hour together. It's taken from a couple of ideas that I kind of put out there in 10-minute form last year. And but yes, it's grown and developed, and yeah, I'm very pleased with it.
So that's interesting. So the 10-minute form has sparked some ideas for a longer piece.
Yeah. Yes, and the kind of episodic nature of putting on a engaging piece of theatre, you know, different scenes, different characters coming in and out, and it's really it's grown into something that I hope is engaging intellectually and emotionally, as well as being quite funny and quite poignant, and hopefully ticks all the boxes.
So give us a non-spoiler alert summary of what it's called and what it's about.
The play is called Neverwant. It's a near future interpretation of what society might have come to benefit us and possibly at the expense of certain other things. It's one man's quest to kind of find true love in a society that kind of frowns upon that kind of interhuman relationship. It's a dark comedy with robots.
And as a writer then, so if there's a 10-minute script, did you have to put that aside and start from a blank sheet? Or were you putting biro all over the 10 minutes?
A little bit of both, I'll have to confess. There was some bits of dialogue that I've used from previous works, but essentially, yes, it was sitting down and it was mapping out a whole new story. I mean, you can't really directly transfer. You know, what works in 10 minutes is very different to I have now discovered to an hour. You know, I think in certain ways you can get away with things in 10 minutes because it's a kind of snappier, punchier, like thing. You know, you can kind of take liberties a bit more. With an hour-long piece of theatre, you know, you have to be consistent, engaging, and, you know, the plot has to be really solid and something that people are going to want to buy into for that whole hour. So it's quite different to the 10-minute.
So isn't that there a danger that something that is really sharp and focused in 10 minutes, that my metaphor is, it'd just be dangerous just to stretch it out. Mm. You've had to change it, I guess.
Yeah, totally. You're absolutely right. Taking 10 minutes and just writing, stretching it, like padding it out with 50 minutes of fluff is not going to work, obviously. So it's been a real kind of labour of love of, you know, taking a core concept. You know, I knew the idea was good. That's the thing. And so taking that and weaving a new, broader, wider narrative. It's been a lot of fun kind of creating a whole new world around this idea and these characters, and really kind of bringing them to life and making them much more real and much more human.
And over the years, having seen a lot of Bite Sizes work in Brighton, in Edinburgh and beyond, there's been a lot of conversation I've had with the company about, you know, for some people, writing a 10-minute play is really difficult. Mm. You're a bit like, you know, the quote, sorry, I wrote you a long letter because I didn't have time to write a shorter one. And so what I'm interested in then is, it could be worth a lot of writers that write full-length plays, to have a go at writing a 10-minute version, even though they're going to finally present a full-length play.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, I can kind of see the craft and the beauty in both, really. You know, to get 10 minutes where you have established a scene and you've got, you know, fully fleshed out characters and you've got a beginning, middle and end in 10 minutes, you know, I think it's a genius device, you know, if you can distill the kind of essence of a play into 10 minutes, it's wonderful and it's very satisfying for an audience. You know, the success of the Bite Size Breakfast Show is testament to that. You know, obviously an hour is a very different thing, has its own benefits, and you know, obviously you can explore a lot more, you can you know, get behind the characters a lot more as well. So I have a lot of respect for the 10-minute form as well, but it's been a wonderful process, and I've really enjoyed writing a full hour as well. You know.
So in terms of my next question, I'm going to string this out a bit so that you can put a bit more rock cake in your mouth.
Thank you very much.
At least 10 minutes worth anyway.
Please,
in terms of the theme of the play and the intriguing description you've given of it, I guess as we look into the world now, you know, we're sitting here in Pavilion Gardens. Actually, there aren't that many people on mobile phones here, and there are a lot of people talking, but when I came in on the bus, you know, there are look like married couples separately on their mobile phones, not talking to each other. We've got futurists saying it, the time is coming now where we're going into relationships with technology that's not all good. Even as we're more connected, we're feeling isolated. Relationships are, you know, they're more possibilities, but they're also breaking down in this kind of technological age. So are you exploring some of that, and have you found, you know, the current emerging future in the present an interesting place to be a writer at the moment?
Yeah.
Smiley.
That's my short answer to your wonderful long question. But
well, I did get some rock cake in you,
and I did have a bite of cake, so yeah, very much appreciated. Absolutely, you know, and working in a secondary school as I do, you know, I see, you know, the constant kind of wrestle that we have with mobile phones and kids bringing mobile phones to school, and is you know, they can be useful, they can be a terrible distraction, you know, so. And we explore the idea of kind of data and data harvesting as well in the show. You know, if the other idea that I had and theme that I'm exploring is if the marketing companies that do all that tailored marketing, your banner ads on Facebook, and you know, you buy something one week and then suddenly you've got 50 adverts for that same kind of thing the next week. You know, because they know what you want, they know what you like. So they'll target you. If those marketing companies got together with the short-term loan companies or the credit companies who know what you can afford, maybe they could just cut out the middleman and just buy you stuff and send it along. Before you even realised you wanted it, you would be provided with everything your heart desires, you know. But what I love doing with this technology is, you know, it's obviously the kind of default sci-fi stance is that it's a dystopian vision. You know, this is bad. This is going to, as you say, you know, destroy relationships as we know them, and people aren't going to be able to communicate. And my kids at school and aren't going to learn how to write with a pen because they're texting. But I take a lot of inspiration. You know, one of my literary heroes is Douglas Adams, who takes a much more kind of holistic view and is like, well, Could it be good as well? You know, I mean, is it good? Is it bad? Is it all dystopia? Could it be a utopia? I like to kind of play around with those ideas. And what we know for sure is that life will go on and it'll be quite funny. Whatever happens, you know, we'll do our funny little thing and we'll crack on with it, regardless of what this technology brings. So I try and walk that line between the dystopia and the utopian vision and look at it in a very tongue-in-cheek kind of way.
I'm interested because you're saying tongue-in-cheek and you're saying, is it all good? And you mentioned Douglas Adams. And for the last two or three years up at the Edinburgh Fringe, Fringe Reviews had a page called Sci-Fi Theatre, because there are so many shows to choose from that are in that category. And I think you're right. You know, 9 out of 10 of them are dystopian, and they end somewhere very, very dark. But it seems, and I'm just wondering, I'm not overanalyzing, I hope, but because you started in that snappier format of the 10-minute play, which tends to, it's not just comedy, but it does tend to be more upbeat when it's exploring stuff like this. Mm. We laugh at ourselves. You know, I remember there was a bite-sized play about, you know, Facebook and social media. So it could be, was it because you did a 10-minute version that you've been able to, you know, not just stretch it, but develop it into something that isn't all bad in the science fiction world?
I think my experience with Bite Size has exposed me to such a variety of stuff that I really have come to see, you know, comedy, tragedy, drama, whether it's dark or light. The line is very finely drawn, you know, and I think the things that I love to go and see are those things that make you laugh, make you think, make you cry. You know, the greatest... tragedy, I think, comes from comedy and vice versa, you know. So, definitely. My grounding in, you know, my training, if you like, in Bite Size has just exposed me to such a wide variety of stuff that those good things that jump out at me are those things that do just that. You know, they're hard to pigeonhole. You can't call them a comedy or a drama. They've got elements of both in there and they engage the emotions and the mind and the laughter muscles.
It sounds like a very exciting play, particularly because I'm interested in science fiction too, but I think everybody can benefit from seeing something that paints a vision of the future that's coming faster than we know, and it's kind of already here. Final question would be, as somebody that works with a 10-minute format, but now you're doing a longer play as well, under the same company's banner, do you think that will add anything new to you when you go back into the 10-minute format and maybe write something?
That's a very interesting question. Let's keep our fingers crossed and hope for the best for the future.
I mean, the one could be that does it make you even better at writing with economy in the 10-minute format because you've hopefully successfully written a longer play?
Yes. Let's say yes.
A bit of healthy fear going on in here, which is good. Finally, what's your kind of non-PR invitation for people to come and see the show?
Oh, yes, please do. It's 5th, 6th and 7th of May at the Rialto Theatre. It's on at 12:30 and it is £10, £8 concession.
And what will people get from coming to see it?
They will get an hour of interesting, thought-provoking, funny and poignant theatre. Something new, something in the sci-fi kind of Black Mirror vein, but a good laugh as well.
Thanks a lot, Billy.
Thank you, Paul.